you for that. I love that truth. Genesis chapter number 27, if you would. Genesis chapter 27. There is hope in your life. If you are still breathing this morning, God's not finished with you yet. It's that simple. If you still got blood coursing through your veins and you're still alive, God's not finished with you. Sometimes in our lives, we're easy to give up on a situation, and sometimes we even give up on God, but God never gives up on us. God never gives up on us. There's always hope. And so regardless of what you're going through, regardless of who you're praying for, regardless of what's been happening in your life, understand we serve a God in heaven who's interested in your life. He's interested in taking care of that situation, whatever it may be. What a truth. What a truth. Genesis chapter 27. When you get there, stand with me if you would. I know several folks here in the church, we set forth a challenge at the beginning of the year. We want to try to read through our Bible this year. We passed out a pamphlet or a piece of paper in your bulletins for several weeks on a little guide that we can follow, just reading a couple chapters every day, being able to make it through the Word of God. And so if you're following along with that, you will have read this story this past week. And so this may be familiar to you, and I want to pull out some things that God showed me and try to be a help to you. But also, if you're reading through your Bible, we'll finish up the book of Genesis today and start on Exodus first thing in the morning. So looking forward to that. And never lose sight of the Word of God. It's what God's given to us. It's our love letter from Him. And so we need to understand it. We need to read it. We need to try to absorb as much of it as possible. Genesis 27, we're going to read a couple verses here, and we're going to skip to another chapter. Look at verse number 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Here, you know the story. If you've read it before, if you've not, I'll tell you the story real quick. Jacob had deceived his father. Esau was supposed to go and receive venison. He was supposed to go and hunt an animal and bring it back, bring the killing back to the cave, amen, and be able to give it to his father. And he was going to serve him that venison. Well, he was supposed to get his birthright, his blessing. And Rebekah, the mother, she loved her other son Isaac more than her son Esau. Well, Jacob, the daddy, loved Esau more than he did Isaac. Now, Esau more than he did Jacob. Got things backwards. My apology. But the mother had connived and planned for her son Jacob to get the blessing. And so here, Jacob lies to his daddy. Go with me over to Genesis chapter number 32 now. Genesis chapter number 32. And we're going to tie these two passages in together. Look at verse number 24. And Jacob was left alone. Kind of like that song. Sometimes you're going to be alone in your life. Here, Jacob was alone. The Bible says, And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Verse number 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? Now you're in the middle of a fight with somebody. All right, guys, think about this. You are in the middle of a fight with somebody. Blood is being shed. You are wrestling. His hip is out of joint. It got physical. All right, this wasn't patty cakes. They were fighting. There was a wrestling match that was going on. And here in the middle of a wrestling match, he stops and he says, What is your name? What kind of question is that? Well, I'm about to punch the guy in the face. What kind of question is that? What is thy name? We're going to get to that now. He said, Jacob. He said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Spitefulness. He said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He passed over Peniel, and the sun arose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us to take these passages and look to see what you have for us this morning. Help us, Lord, not to live a lie, but to really understand who we are this morning. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. The title of the message this morning is, Who are you? Who are you? Or you can write down, What is thy name? What is thy name? Who are you? Here we have the story back in Genesis chapter number 27, where Jacob and Esau were the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. And so here, they were the rightful sons. They were twins. Esau was a little bit older than Jacob. And according to Israeli custom and according to Middle Eastern custom, the firstborn son would get the birthright and he would get the blessing or the inheritance. Now, we know that Jacob was a conniver. All right. The Bible tells us that his name was Jacob, and his name literally means a conniver or a supplanter or mischievous one. So Jacob was a conniver, and he was always trying to see how he could get the benefit of the doubt or how he can one up somebody and how he can make everything turn to his favor. And Jacob, we know earlier from before Genesis chapter 27, his brother was exhausted from a day out hunting, and he had no meat. He had nothing to show for it. And he comes back home, and Jacob was cooking the stew, and he had a pot of beans that was there. And Esau hungered, and he felt like he was about to die. And Jacob said, "I'll give you a pot of beans if you'll give me your birthright." Many of you may remember that story. And he said, "Okay, what is my birthright? What is it to me? I don't even want it. I'm hungry. I'm about to die. What good is my birthright if I die?" Listen, he wasn't going to die. He had just gone a few hours without eating. Some of us guys, you feel like when you're on a diet or when you've gone a little bit without eating, you feel like you're going to die. And I understand the feeling. If I go without Mountain Dew or candy for any length of time, yes, I feel like I may die for a moment. But it'll be okay, I promise. He wasn't going to die, but he disregarded his birthright in that moment. And then later on, when it came time for him to receive the blessing from his father, the blessing wasn't even supposed to be his anymore because he had given it away to Jacob. Well, listen, Isaac didn't know about all this stuff. He didn't know the conniving that had gone on between his sons. And so here, Jacob takes in chapter number 27 and he deceives his father. Go back with me to Genesis 27, verse number 18. He came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" Now, at this time, Isaac was blinded. He could not see. Verse 19, Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." No, he didn't. He lied about that. His mama made it for him. Verse 21, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him." Again, Jacob, he was the younger son. He wasn't as well built. He was more of a mama's boy, where Esau was more of a manly man. He was a rugged, he was a tough, he was a hunter, he was one that would go out into the field, and he was a very hairy man, the Bible says. He was kind of like Sasquatch or Chewie off of Star Wars. Okay, he was Chewie. He was a little bit hairy. Now, here, his mother, what she did is she took the goat skin and she tied it around Jacob's arms so that when his dad went to go smell of him, he smelled of the field. When he went to go feel him, he felt like Esau. But all of this was a lie. All of it was a lie. Now, you say, why are you telling us this story? Again, go back to Genesis chapter 32. The very last time that Jacob was asked what his name was, he lied about it and said his name was Esau. Until he comes to the point where he wants to receive a blessing from God, and God asks him the question, "What's your name?" He had to address who he was in the face of God. Now listen, we live a day and an age today where we live a life of reputation, where people many times know that your reputation precedes you, that many people will know you because of your reputation, or they'll know you because of the things that they've heard about you. And there's some great preachers I got to meet just the other night, and I got to fellowship with them and talk with them a little bit. And one of the guys I've talked to, he is the son of a pastor of a large church, and he's pastoring that church now down in Longview, Texas, Brother Bob Gray II. And I got to talk with him and fellowship with him a little bit. He's been in the ministry for years. marriage forever. The other guy that I got an opportunity to meet and talk with was Brother Stacy Shiflett. He pastors up in Maryland, and he's a fifth generation pastor. Man of God, been serving the Lord for years. But listen, their reputation precedes them. They're known nationwide. They're known globally. God has worked in their lives on many different occasions. And so many times you come into contact with somebody and they may have already heard who you are. We may feel like we're insecure and we may feel like we're insignificant and people don't know who we are. But many times your reputation may precede you in different areas of life. You go to your workplace and someone gets hired on new and you've been there for 20 years and the new person comes to you and they're introduced to you and they say, oh, I've heard your name. I've heard a lot of good things about you. Anybody ever had that said about them? I've heard good things said about you. What is that? That means you're living a life of reputation. That means your reputation precedes you. Now here, Jacob was trying to be something that he was not. And when we live a life of reputation, what we are doing is we are trying to be who everybody else thinks that we are. Anytime somebody ever says anything to me that I've heard your name before, I've heard good things about you, I say, well, they were all lies because they're not true. I'll tell you that from experience. Ask my wife. I'm just kidding. But many a times people will say they've heard certain things, or I'll meet somebody and say, hey, I've heard your name before, or I've heard some people talk about you before. I said, well, hopefully they were good things. And I don't want anybody to say anything bad about me. That wouldn't be good at all for me. But we live a life many a times of reputation. And you have society today where celebrities, they're known by the movies that they're in, or basketball players, they're known by the team that they are on, and they have a certain reputation to uphold. You have certain guys who are in gang affiliations, different things, and they have a certain type of reputation that they've got to uphold. They've got a certain kind of a repertoire to uphold to. Now, we put on this cloak or this facade, or I would like to call it a mask of Christianity. And many people today are trying to live a life simply to fool everybody else. We come to church and they think, oh man, you're such a great Christian. Oh man, I see how you have your family in order and I see the things that are going on. But you don't know the person behind closed doors. But you don't know how they're acting when they're not here. And what happens is sometimes people put on a mask of Christianity. And many times what happens is the only person that we ended up lying to is ourselves. Because our spouse knows who the real person is. Because our kids know who the real person is. You can put on this facade and this mask of who you want everybody else to think that you are. But others will know. Whether it be your spouse, whether it be your children. I've had different conversations with many different people. And I've told them that I'm one of those guys. I'm not trying to put on a show for anybody. I am nobody's monkey. All right? Not my circus, not my monkey. I understand. I'm not nobody's monkey. I'm not putting on a show for anybody. I'm one of those that what you see is what you get. The same way that I am here at church is the same way that I am anywhere else that I go. Why? Because I'm not trying to live a fake life. Jesus Christ didn't live a fake life when he was here on earth. What you saw with Jesus is what you got. He didn't try to manipulate anybody. He didn't try to be something that he was not. Now, listen, should we always try to be improving ourselves? Absolutely. But I'm not going to live a fake life. And I'm not going to put on a facade in front of certain people just to impress them and just so that they like me. It's not going to happen that way. Because we, at the end of the day, we've got to go home with ourselves. Okay? At the end of the day, you've got to look yourself in the mirror. Now, sometimes that's scary, I understand. I get a good laugh every morning when I wake up and I look in the mirror, all right? God has a sense of humor. And we've got to go home with ourselves. And we know the real us. And you've got to determine whether or not you can live with a lie and you can put your head on a pillow at night and sleep with that lie or sleep with the good graces of God, knowing that you've done everything you're supposed to do. And what happens is sometimes we lie to ourselves and we try to live a life to impress other people like Jacob did. And here it caught up to him, and we'll get to the passage in just a moment. Many times we do certain things that we don't want to do. Well, let me go ahead and tell you, it shows. We can try to do what you don't want to do, but sooner or later the truth's going to come out. Ask my wife, I hate shopping. It is not my forte, all right? I go home, sit down, I watch football game all day long. I watch basketball game all day. I love sports, all right? But I don't love shopping. Shopping is not what I enjoy. Now, if there are days that are set aside, I enjoy spending time with my family, and we have a shopping day, yes. But by the end of the day, we're ready to go. She'll ask me, she said, are you ready to go? I said, yes, I've been ready. Yes. Whatever you want to do, though, ma'am. Well, I'm here for you. Or I'm just spending time with you. Spending time with you, mommy. I'm ready to go. I don't like shopping. Okay? Now, you can enjoy the presence of somebody else while you're doing something that you don't like. Right? But sometimes it's difficult to enjoy doing something that you just don't want to do at all. All right? Any guys with me? Any guys in here like shopping? Who likes shopping? Any guys? I didn't think so. None of us do. But we go shopping. Why? Because our wife wants us to. And we're going to be a blessing. We're going to spend time together. Amen. But sometimes when you don't want to do something, it shows. It shows. My wife has reminded me that I didn't look happy shopping. Well, she was right, because I wasn't. But I was happy being with her. I promise. All right? We enjoy being together. But sometimes we put on a facade. Sometimes people put on a smile. They'll come into the parking lot of the church and they'll be arguing, they'll be fighting, they'll be bickering, and they come into church holding hands thinking everything's okay. Like, listen, I just saw punches being thrown in the window of your car. You're going to come in here holding hands, everything really okay? I'm holding his hand so I don't punch him in the face. With a smile, right? Just kidding. But sometimes we put on a facade of being a super spiritual person. When in all reality, it's just a show. When we put on a facade, we come to church, amen, preacher, I agree with what you're saying. Amen, yeah, absolutely, we should do that, absolutely. And then we go home and we never open our Bible, and we never read it, we never spend any time in prayer. We're living a fake life, a false Christianity. Now here, Jacob was asked by his father in Genesis 27, what is thy name? And he said, my name is Esau. Now, his father was blind, but he had enough discernment to say, you have the voice of Jacob, but when I touch you, you're hairy like Esau. You sound like Jacob, and it doesn't make sense, but you smell like Esau. And he was deceived at that time, and he ended up giving Jacob the blessing. Later on, Esau comes back from the hunt, and he says, Father, I'm here to receive my blessing. And you go back and you read Genesis chapter 27, and Isaac was mortified at that time. He was so confused, but then he was so deeply hurt because he was deceived by his other child in his old age. And then the Bible says that Esau swore to kill Jacob because of his deceitfulness, because of his treachery. And I think it's interesting now we get to Genesis chapter 32 where Jacob is now alone and he's spending time with God and he's wrestling with God in this area. And the first thing that God deals with is this question of, what is thy name? Who are you? Who are you? So I want to ask you this morning is, who are you? What is behind your name? Are you really the person that you're trying to express to everybody else that you are? Are you really the man that everybody thinks that you are? Or are you hiding something behind closed doors? Are you really the wife that God, that everybody projects you to be? Are you really the teenager, the obedient one at church? Oh, you've never seen them at home. Right? Are we talking about the same child? Yes. Are you putting on a facade? This is where we're at with Jacob. He was living a lie. But he had gotten to the point in his life where he wanted God's blessing. But it was going to come at a price. Notice Genesis 32, verse number 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. We know that this man was a Christophany. That means it was a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had come down in angelic form, and he was wrestling with Jacob at this time. Now think about that. He was wrestling with an angel. Angels are mentioned throughout the Word of God. There's an angel that's mentioned that killed 185,000 warriors in one night. Now, you can say Jacob was a brave man or he was a very, very dumb man. Fine line between bravery and stupidity, right? Okay? He was wrestling with an angel. But the Bible says in verse 25, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, so when the angel saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he, the angel of God, touched the hollow of his, Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So now he's got a hip that's out of joint and he's still wrestling and holding on to God. Well, picture that. This guy has got a hip that's out of joint, and he's still holding on saying, bless me, bless me. Now, look at verse 26. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And then verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? So this Jacob is holding on to God. He said, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. God looks at him and literally says, okay, what's your name? What's your name? Because the last time somebody asked you what your name was, you lied about it. Because the last time you were asked that question, you deceived your very own father and told him that you were somebody else. So if you're going to get a blessing from God, when God asks you the question of what your name is, you've got to come clean with God. And Jacob had gotten to a point in his life now where God had intervened in the situation and he was deeply hurt. Anybody ever had a hip out of joint? Anybody? I'm sure it hurts. I've never had a hip replacement. All right. Maybe one day it's going to happen. But I've sprained ankles and I've messed up my knee and I've walked with a limp before. And I know the pain that it feels to have certain things that are not in the proper joint. Has anybody in here had a dislocated shoulder? Had a couple of them? Okay. You know the pain that it is to just to pop that socket back in place. It's a ball and socket joint just like your hip is. And you got to rotate it a certain way to pop it back in place. And it does not sound pleasing or appealing. And many times they don't give you any deadener for it and they do it while you're awake. It's painful. But here he was enduring pain and he would not let go. And God says, what is your name? What is your name? And that's the thought I want to give you this morning is, what is thy name? What is thy name? We've got three truths we're going to get to here. Christ had to physically break him before he could deal with him. You see, he had gotten to a point to where his hip was out of joint in verse 25, and he had gotten to a point to where he was physically exhausted and physically hurt before he came to the confession of who he really was. Now, when it comes to dealing with God, you can either be upfront and honest in the beginning, or you can be hurt deeply and fully exhausted and on your last breath before you're finally honest with God. One way or the other, God's going to get the truth out of you, just like he did with Jacob. You see, Jacob had tried to run from God. Jacob had tried to run from his problems, but guess what? He couldn't outrun himself because the problems begin here. You can run all you want from the drug addictions and from the problems and from all the different pasts that we may have, but you can't run far because it's going to follow you because you got to go to bed with that every night. Because you got to look yourself in the mirror every morning. Because you've got to deal with you. All right? And we've got to deal with ourselves. And here, Christ had to break Jacob before he could bless him. And in your life, sometimes in order to get the blessings of God, you've got to go through some breaking. You've got to get hurt, sometimes deeply, before God can bless you and use you. Why? Because sometimes it takes the brokenness for us to get to a point to where we desire God. You see, because we try to do things on our own. We try to do it in our own power. We try to do it in our own strength. We often ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, it could be that God's allowed the bad to happen to get you to a position where you finally trust Him. You see, I know different folks that have gone through different trials and different heartaches, and they don't understand why they're going through the things they're going through. But during the midst of it all, what happened? They started going to church. What happened during the midst of it all? Their spouse got saved. What happened? Through the midst of it all, God used a trial to bless and to draw Himself into their lives. And here, Jacob had to deal with who he was before he could get the blessing of God. Now notice what happened in verse 27. He said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He was finally open. He was finally honest with who he was. In verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. God said, listen, you were Jacob. You were a mischievous one. You were a supplanter. You were a conniver. But you're not going to be known that way anymore. There's going to be a change that takes place. Because any time you spend time with God, there's a change that takes place and it starts inside. And here he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God. and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Jacob. I laugh sometimes because he wasn't fully getting what God was trying to do in his life. Okay? He knew that he was wrestling with an angel. He knew that he was wrestling with somebody that could overpower him. He knew that it had to have been God because all God had to do was touch his thigh and it popped out of joint. Now think about that. So he knew this was not a normal man. But sometimes we still think very fleshly. He said, okay, you know my name. Now what's your name? And I kind of laughed when Jacob did that. That's kind of funny. He knows that this has to be a supernatural man. He knows this can't be a normal person, a normal human being. This has to be God. And he knows this. But what does he say? He says, tell me thy name. Like he's going to get something. Okay. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? Now, catch this truth. We're going to get into the message, I promise you. This is all introduction. Before he could bless Jacob and change his name to Israel, before he could do that, Jacob had to come to a realization of who he was. Now listen, Jacob's daddy was the one who asked him what your name is. And he's the one that lied to his daddy. And the very next time that he wants a blessing, he now is asked, what is your name? Who are you? Let's find out who we're actually dealing with. And he comes clean with who he is. And then he has the audacity to ask God, what's your name? Listen, God's not the one that's on trial. God's not the one that lied about anything. Right? God's never once lied in His Word. God's never once told us to do something that He was not willing to do Himself. God's never once made us a promise that He did not keep. God is not on trial today. It was Jacob who was on trial. So understand the truth. When God's trying to get you to come to the reality of who you are, don't try to turn the tables on God and say, oh yeah, where have you been my whole life? And that's what we try to do often. When God wants to break us and get us to a position where He can begin to bless us, we try to often turn the tables with God and say, oh yeah, God, where were you when I went through this? God, what were you doing? Why did you allow that? And we want to blame God. God's not on trial. Okay? Remember that. God's not on trial. We are. Okay? Catch that truth. Jacob asked God who he was. And he says, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? I'm not the one on trial. I'm not the one that lied. I'm not the one that tried to deceive everybody I came in contact with. I'm not the one that tried to get something that was not mine. Okay? Jacob was. And then he says, the Bible says he blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Why? For I have seen God face to face and my life preserved. As he passed over, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. Now, if we, like Jacob here, had come to a position where he had received the power of God in his life. If we, as Christians, as children of God, are going to have the power of God in our lives, there are three steps we must take. Number one, there must be a recognition of who you are. There must be a recognition of who you are. Again, Jacob was mischievous. He was a conniver. He was one that tried to get gain. He was one who would twist the arm. He would try to strong arm everybody in his life. He was a liar, a thief. He was a coward. But God asked him what his name was. By the way, when he wanted the blessing from his father, he lied in order to get it. But when it came to getting a blessing from God, there's no lying involved. Because God knows who you are. You may have everybody else fooled, but God knows. God always knows. And God will always know. He knows who you are in the deep depths of your heart, in the secret closet that you dwell in. He knows what goes on inside your mind, even though your spouse may never. Children, He knows what goes on inside your head and what you're doing late at night, even though you may get by and your parents may not know. God knows. God knows. So this morning, if you're going to have power with God, if you're going to strive and you're going to get blessings from God, first, there must be a realization of who you are. What are you? What reputation are you trying to live? Are you a thief? Are you a robber? Are you a murderer? Are you a whoremonger? Are you a hypocrite? Are you an abuser? What are you? Today, so many people are trying to live a lie. But we're not going to get anywhere with God if there's not first a realization of who we are. Okay? Secondly, if we're going to get the power of God, not only must there be a realization of who you are, there must be a recognition of who He is. There must be a recognition of who He is. See, listen, you've got to come to the realization of who you are in the sight of God. God, I am unworthy. God, I am a sinner come before You. God, I cannot do this on my own. Then there must be a recognition of who He is. God, You are all sufficient. God, You are the Creator. God, You are the Almighty. God, You are the All-Powerful. God, You are the One who created heaven and earth. God, You are the One that gives me breath. And You are the One that gives me life. God, You are the Gracious One. You are long-suffering. God, You are the One that can do it in my life. There must be recognition of who He is. By the way, why do you think Jacob was wrestling with Him for a blessing? Because he knew where his bread got buttered. Amen. Amen. He knew where his bread got buttered. He knew where the blessings came from. He knew what was going to happen. Jacob realized he met with God. And guess what? When you have an encounter with God, you'll never forget it. See, I know when I had my encounter with God. I know when I came to Jesus Christ and I asked Him as my personal Savior. It was June 22nd, 2003. I was a 15-year-old boy. I remember the day that I got saved. There was an encounter. There was a time where I had to recognize who I was before God. I was a sinner and I was lost and undone. And there's a time I had to recognize who He was. He is the Savior. He died for me. And I remember that connection, that time where I came before God and I confessed that I was a sinner. I received Him as my Savior. But also, I remember the day God called me to preach. It was June 17th, 2007. God called me to preach. Why? I have no idea, but He did. God called me to preach. He set me apart to do a work for Him. And I thank God for the opportunities that God gives. But I never forgot the encounters with God. There's other times that I can go back in my life and I remember different times where I've gone to an altar and I've confessed certain things to God and I've given over things to God and never to do them again and had full victory in life. Why? Because it was an encounter with God. And when you recognize who He is, He will change your life forever. What did He do to Jacob? Popped his thigh out of joint. Right? You see, when you get the power of God in your life, there first must be a realization of who you are. You've got to come to grips with yourself. And secondly, you've got to recognize who He is. God has to be real in your life. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So, John says, I've written this to people who believe there's a God. Now, in order for God to do anything in your life, you first got to believe that He is. The Bible says when we have faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a reward of them that diligently seek Him. The first four words of your Bible are, in the beginning, God. That means the Word of God is written with the recognition that you already believe there's a God. Okay? So if you open up this book, you are believing already that there is a God. That's why atheists won't open the Bible. Because they don't believe there's a God. They don't trust there's a God. We open the Word of God, we have the full recognition that we already know there's a God. And when you go to God in prayer, you are already recognizing that He is. So there must be a realization of who you are. There must be a recognition of who He is. And then thirdly, if you're going to have the power of God in your life, there must be a repentance from what you were. There must be repentance from what you were. Look down in verse 28. And He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Put verse 28 up there. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. What is that? That is a change from what you used to be to now, you're going to be something different for God. See, you used to be a thief. You used to be a conniver. You used to be a supplanter. You used to be somebody that tried to weasel your way into a situation to get whatever you could, and then you left before anybody knew what happened. He was a thief. But God said, not anymore. Because when you realize who you are, and you deal with the you inside that nobody else knows about, and you recognize who He is, and the fact that God sees everything that you are, it's going to cause you to repent. And when we repent, repentance is literally this. It is an about face. And you turn the other direction. You are no longer doing what you used to do, but you changed and now you're doing something else. In order to repent, you've got to repent from something to something else. Okay? You repent from your sin and unto a Savior. Okay? You repent from the wrong way to the right way. Does that make sense? You repent from what you used to do. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. You repent from a life of alcohol and you begin to live soberly. What have you done? You sobered up. You've not touched the drink anymore. That's what it means to be sober, to be serious. You're no longer goofing around and horsing off. All right, you've left the drinking and you've sobered up and you've gotten right with God. Right? So when there is a repentance that takes place, you've stopped something and started something else. When you repent from a life of promiscuity and a life of loose living, you are no longer sleeping with anything that walks, but rather you've married someone and now you've given yourself wholly to someone else. Okay? You've repented. There's been a change of mind. Okay? There's been a change of heart. There's been a change of direction. And the Bible says here in verse 28, when he came to God, he came to the realization of who he was. He came to the recognition of who God was. Then there was a repentance from what he used to be. He no longer, you'll never find anywhere throughout the rest of the book of Genesis where Jacob was ever trying to lie about who he was again. You'll never find where Jacob tried to do something in a sneaky or a conniving way again. Why? Because the rest of his life he halted on his thigh. Because the rest of his life he walked around with a limp and he knew what it meant to spend time with God. Because when God shows up in your life, God will change you and you'll never forget it. Think about that. You'll read later on, we don't have time to get into it, but down in chapter 33, you'll find Jacob then goes to Esau. He gets the family all gathered together and he comes in contact with Esau, his brother, the one that he had lied to, the one that had promised to kill him next time he saw him. That must have been a scary event. But he had repented, and what did he want to do? He wanted to make things right with his brother. So the Bible says in Genesis chapter 33, verse number 2, that later on he goes and he crosses over the river and he bows before his brother 7 times. What was he doing? He was humbling himself. He was offering himself to his brother. Why? Because he had wronged him. He was confessing his fault. He was asking for forgiveness. You know what? That's a good sign of repentance in someone's life. You see, when they've done wrong and they know they've done wrong and they've had a real encounter with God, they'll desire to make things right with those that they have wronged. You go to John chapter 3, look it up later. You go to John chapter 3 and you'll find that when Jesus Christ comes to Nicodemus and he tells him about how to trust him and how to get saved. And Nicodemus ends up trusting Christ. He ends up getting saved. And he says, I will restore fourfold what I've taken from others. And Nicodemus spends the rest of his life restoring money to those that he had stolen from. That's a good sign that repentance had taken place. That's a good sign that he had gotten right with God. He never walked the same again. He was different. Why? Because of his encounter with Jesus. Your encounter with Jesus Christ will change you. You can look at different people in the Bible. You can look at the Apostle Paul when he encountered God on the road to Damascus there in Acts chapter number 9. Later on in Paul's life, he said he had a thorn in the flesh. Why? So that he would not be exalted above measure. God kept him humble. He was never the same again. He used to wreak havoc on the church. Now he wreaked havoc on the devil. Amen. He used to do everything he could to persecute Christianity, but now he did everything he could to exalt Jesus Christ. He was completely different because of the change that God made in his life. You look at the life of Moses. Moses was a murderer, was he not? He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was Pharaoh's grandson. But he was a murderer. He killed an Egyptian because that Egyptian had smitten the Hebrew. And then he went and he buried him in the sand. But guess what? He went back on the backside of a desert and got right with God. And God used him to deliver 2 million Jews out of Egypt into the promised land. As a matter of fact, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And God gave Moses the blueprints of the tabernacle. And God spoke with Moses as a friend, as a man speaketh with his friend. And he was on top of the mountain, just him and God alone. The Bible says that when he came down off the mountain, that his face shone. He had to put a veil over his face because others could not handle his walk with God. Because God changed him. God changed him. You see, when you have an encounter with God and you realize who you are and you realize who God is and true repentance takes place in your heart, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. So let me ask you the question. We're going to finish with the way we started. What's your name? How do people know you? What life are you living? Those of us that have been saved, we've got a name that we've been given. We've got a new name that's written in glory, the Bible says in Revelation. But we've got a name that we're living. That name is Christian. Christian, that means little Christ. The Bible says that we are epistles written on the hearts of men. That means our lives may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. That means the way that we live our lives is going to be how other people judge Christianity. Are they going to follow Christ or are they not? It depends on us and how we live for God. These same three steps this morning are the same three steps we must follow for salvation. You got to realize who you are. You're a sinner on his way to hell. You got to realize who God is. He's a Savior who paid sin's penalty for us. And then we've got to repent from our way of salvation and trust in His way, the sacrifice that He's given us. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Who are you this morning? Who are you? Are you living a lie? Are you living a facade of Christianity? Are you just trying to pull the wool over people's eyes? Or are you genuine as a born-again child of God? You see, Jacob, he couldn't run any longer. He couldn't wrestle any longer. He had to answer the question, what is thy name? And this morning, you've got to answer that question. What is thy name? Are you a child of God? With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you one question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? Or would you have some doubt about that? How many of you say, Brother Terry, somewhere in my heart, I have doubt. I just don't know. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? Anybody? Somebody? I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I might have a little bit of doubt about that. I'm not going to call on you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to come to you. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody? All right. I'll take the testimony then that everyone in here has come to a point in their life where they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And praise the Lord for that. So let me ask you then this question. As a child of God, what's your name? What's your name? Are you living for God like you should? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to realize